Welcome to Lizzie Chapel Baptist Church, where the Reverend Ronald G. Tony is our pastor. We are so excited that you have joined us here this morning for our virtual worship experience. Now, go grab your family, sit together, and join us as we praise God together.
I look into your faces, I see your rocking bodies and your smiling faces. And in looking at you, I right away understand how good God is. He's brought us through this week. Through many dangers, toils, and snares. And my heart is blessed. My soul is full. Because truly God, once He has distinguished Himself in our midst as being a good God. Amen. That's why we offer praise. He's deserving and worthy of all of our praise. Amen. Amen. Let's stand as we prepare to hear a word from the Lord. Your blessings are richly felt, God, in our presence. A love that flows from heart to heart and breast to breast is flowing in this place on today. We thank you, God, for waking us up and giving us a right mind to know that it's your day. And that on your day we come to your house to give you praise. So thank you. Thank you for right now. We pray, oh God, that our praise has given you pleasure, for truly you are worthy. And even if we've done it 24 hours a day, it still would not be enough to express in our hearts just how good and glorious, how beautiful and mighty you are. So we've come, God, not only to elevate your name and exalt you for all of your many blessings and just knowing who you are, we've come also to hear a word from you. So speak. Your children are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Scripture is coming from John chapter 10, verse 10. And in it we find these words. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, says the Lord, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The message for the church gathered at Lizzie Chapel is knowing God, living the abundant life. You may be seated. What do you do when you go to church and read your Bible and participate in prayer meetings and Bible study, but you still feel like as if something's missing? You're serious about your faith and you are a true believer in God, but you don't feel close to God, and you are growing increasingly, let's say, disenchanted. You're growing disenchanted because things aren't getting and going the way that you had hope, and things aren't getting any better. And you're wondering, what am I doing wrong? Or what else am I supposed to do in order to enjoy and feel and experience this abundant life that Jesus has promised to us? You believe in Christ. You believe that he came and to give you abundant life, but that ain't happening to you. So what's missing? There is a strategy for living the abundant life that many Christians fail to realize. No doubt many want to live the abundant life and are waiting for the promise to become a reality, but it seems like it's taken too long. You are faithful in your efforts to live the abundant life, but despite those efforts, they still go through life. You still go through life unaware on how to experience this abundant life that Jesus said he would freely give. For those of you who can say amen to this, because you understand exactly what I'm talking about, because I call on your name and I know your address and your phone number, and you can say amen to all of this, but you're still being faithful. To you, I commend. Thank God for your faith. And for those who are drifting away because things ain't happening like preacher Reverend Mama said they should be happening, and I pray that what I have to say today, and for the next few weeks, by the way, will give you insight and understanding on how to live the abundant life in the Lord. There is a strategy for living the abundant life that very few people realize. But when you realize it, you will dramatically open your heart to a way that will give you the abundant life of God, a way that you have never known, a way so wonderful that you never have imagined. And it has nothing to do with good intentions. It has nothing to do with religious practices. It has nothing to do with your denomination or keeping the rules prescribed by your church. But it has everything to do with how well you know God. So I ask, how well do you know God? Some don't know God and don't care to know him. It's out there. Others only know God casually. He's an acquaintance to them. They believe in him and check in with God every now and then. They may occasionally come to church and may even participate in church activities. And though they believe in God, they don't really know God. Others may know God informationally. And what I mean by that is that they know scriptures. They know church protocol. They know what it means to be a church member. And they know scriptures. They know the stories of the Bible. They can talk about God and tell others what they know about God and be exactly right. They can be teachers or even preachers who know the stories of the Bible and explain them with exactness and clarity. But though they know the stories, they are at a loss when it comes to their personal understanding of how the biblical stories of God connects with their life story. There are those who know God religiously, in that they are active in the work of the church and involved in the church's program, but when it comes to finding answers to life's biggest questions, they don't know where to go to find God. Just knowing that God saved you is great. That's as far as some people go. They know that God has saved them and they live their lives with the knowledge and that they are saved. But that's all you know about God. And if that's all you know about God as a Savior, then you are missing out on the greatest part of your salvation experience. Just having information about God and knowing the stories of the Bible is wonderful. But if God is not the main character in the story of your life, then you'll spend the most of your life wondering where God is when you need him most. Are you listening today? Working for the church is a marvelous thing to do. We need more church workers in the body of Christ. But if you have not discovered how and where God wants you to work for him, then you will never experience the miracles and the wonders of your faith, because you're so busy working for somebody else, but you're not working for the Lord. I believe that if you casually know God, if you informationally know God, or if you religiously know God, I believe that you are truly saved. I believe that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. But the question we all need to ask today, and what we need to know as believers, is how does God want us to live after we believe? When we are saved, the Holy Spirit works within us to assure us of our salvation. I know I'm saved, because one day the Lord called my name. The angels in heaven done signed my name. I know I've been saved. But if that's all you got, then you have been grieving and quenching the activity of the Holy Spirit in your life, because the Holy Spirit not only affirms our salvation, but what he wants us to do is to help us to understand how God works in our lives. And what we must understand is that the Holy Spirit also attempts to work in us to bring us to the place of closeness and intimacy with God. God not only wants us to know him as Savior, hear me now, God wants us to know him as Father. Being saved is where we began. That's at the beginning of the road. We have just walked into the sheep gate. That's where we've been saved, but we've got a long road to travel. And that long road to travel, if you're going to be happy and experience the bounty and the abundancy of God, you must be close to God, because along that way, as the old folks say, are many dangers, toils, and snares. And you will never overcome the disappointments and frustrations and the pains and even the terrors of night if you're not close to God. We don't truly know God as God desires to be known. All we know is that God loves us, and that because of his love for us, he saved us. But God wants us to know him more intimately, more than Savior, but as Father and even as friend. Some have fathers who have given them birth who never met their dad. They never met him. And likewise, we can know that we are saved by the love and the grace of God and not know him. That's where many of us, most of us, are in our experience of faith. But God has impressed upon my heart to share with you his heart for you to draw closer to him, that he might reveal to you more of himself, that you might know him as he desires to be known. I want you to hear what Jeremiah says to us about how important God wants you to know him as he is known by you. For in Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 through 24, it says this. Listen, this is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast in his wisdom, or the strong man boast in his strength, or the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boast also in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth for those who love me. Did you hear that? Let me say it again. Let him who boast in this, that he, she, they, y'all, us, understands and know him. This, my sisters and brothers, is God's deepest desires in his heart, that we know him. And this should be our highest desire of God. And I think that I will be right in saying that God desperately wants us to know him. I want you to hear the desperate emotional heart of Jesus as he expresses his disappointment to Israel's rejection of God when he cries out, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, oh, how often I have longed to gather my children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." And perhaps we cannot experience the closeness and intimacy of God because, known or unbeknownst, we're not willing. We believe in God, but maybe we are not willing to spend time with God. Maybe we're too busy or too laid back or too distracted about the things that are around us. Or maybe we just are not interested in getting to know God. Maybe we just call God when we need him, and when things are going right, we say, "God, I got this. Just stay close, stay tuned. I'll call you when I need you." All of us want to be understood and loved for who we are. Amen? We all want to be understood and loved. And God is no different. Just as you want to be unconditionally loved, so does God. Just as you want to be appreciated and thought of and respected, so does God. Have you ever thought about that? God wants us to know him and love him for who he is, in all of his greatness, in all of his glory, in all of his splendor, glory, and might. This is why he created us. This is why he saved us. He saved us because he loved us. And he desires to come and take us into eternity so that we can express our continual love and affirmation to him for who he is. Do you know what that's called? Worship. That's called praise. We were created to laud praises and glory, extolling the virtues and the characters of God. And we can only praise God right until we know him. If you don't really know God, you're just standing up and waving your hand because somebody said, "Stand on your feet." But if you know God, if you walked with God, if you spent some time with God, if you've been intimate with God, if you've been through many experiences with God, when you've seen God work in your life and seen what he's done for you, there is nothing but a praise on your lips, and you don't need somebody to tell you when to praise the Lord. God wants us to be intimately involved with him. That's why he is intimately involved in our lives. But intimacy can only take place when both persons agree to open themselves to each other. Have you ever tried to be a friend to someone who doesn't want to be a friend to you? Have you ever wanted to spend time with somebody who doesn't want to spend time with you? Have you ever tried to kiss somebody who doesn't want to kiss you back? Huh? Oh, Ronnie gets it. It's a terrible feeling to want to be with somebody and they don't want to be with you. To make opportunity, prepare a meal, dress up, smell good, waiting for somebody you want to spend time with, and they only call you just to tell you, I'm not coming by today. Jesus gave the parable of a man who created a big feast and invited all of his friends, but his friends came with all kinds of excuses as to why they did not want to come. The man was devastated. Jesus gave the parable because he says, this is what God's people are doing to him. It's a terrible feeling. God truly wants to spend time with us. He wants us to get to know God. Because the true blessings that God wants to give to us, the abundant life that God wants to bestow upon us, is contingent upon our knowing him. We are ones who are saved by God, but even after we are saved, we give him praise and we thank him for our salvation. But along the way, along our Christian journey, we try to make it on our own until we need him. And the good thing about it is that when we call him, he's always there. But what God desperately wants from us is for us to get to know him. God loved us. He always makes the first move. He is the initiator of the relationship. For the Bible says, even when we were sinners, because of his love, Christ died for us. But even after we are saved, having received the forgiveness and the mercies of God's amazing grace, we often are hesitant in getting to know God. And that's what grieves the heart of God most of all. And that's why we are not living the abundant life. If you want to discover the abundant life, my sisters and brothers, then we must take the advice of the Apostle Paul. For the Apostle Paul gives us the secret, the remedy, the answer to how we can enter into the abundant life. He writes this, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Are y'all hearing me? If you want to live the abundant life, the life of mystery, wonder, and awe. The God, the life of surprise and supply. The life where the mystery and the wonder of God surprises you every day in the time of need. When you have the reservoir of strength, knowledge, wisdom, abundance, prosperity that is needed for you to go through life content, peaceful and happy, then it comes by the way of us drawing near to God. And in Genesis chapter 4, verses 1, it says, now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. And Adam knew Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain. When the Bible speaks of knowing each other, it's referring to intimacy. Intimacy at its deepest level. The Hebrew word for know in the text is yada, Y-A-D-A in English. Yada. And yada is the same word used a few verses earlier when it says that Adam and Eve saw each other. Their eyes were opened and they knew they were naked. Yada is the term of intimate knowledge. Where there are no secrets, there is nothing withholding back, that we expose ourselves fully and completely to the other. That's yada. And that's how God wants to be known by us. God wants to reveal as much as our fragile souls can tolerate of him. He wants us to experience the fullness of his glory. He desires that as we draw close to him, that little by little he reveals more of his wisdom, his grace, his glory, his strength, his plan, his program, your purpose, your power, your reasons for living, your abilities, your future. That comes as we draw closer to him and begin to yada God. The word yada means to know or to learn to know someone. Yada means to make oneself known to another. Yada means to know someone based on experience, intimate experience. For the word yada expresses intimacy. In other words, I just don't know about you. I know you. Yada means to intimately know each other through an open and shared relationship. Yada is a mutual love and trust we have for one another. And that's the kind of knowing that God wants us to have with him, just as he knows us intimately. The Bible says he knows the number of hairs on our head. But he also wants to reveal himself to us in an intimate and special way. Yada is a word that the scriptures use to refer to a relationship that God has with his children. In Psalm 25, 14, it says, listen very closely, the Lord confides in those who fear him and makes his covenant known, yada, to them. He confides in those who know him. He whispers secrets to our ears. He gives us updates on what's going on in our environment. He informs us about the things about ourselves and why things are happening around us. When we get to know him, he gives us special knowledge that he doesn't give to others. In Isaiah 43 and 10, it says, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen so that you may yada me and believe me and, check this out, understand that I am he. Understand that God is involved in every aspect of our lives. Understand that no weapon formed against us will prosper. Understand that the way of the righteous prosper. That the peace of God comforts those who love the Lord. Understand that your enemies can do you no harm. Understand that you are blessed in the midst of a storm. Understand that he's a shelter, he's food, he's water, he's dry places, that he'll keep you when you can't keep yourself. You understand this and know that and are not feared or fearful about what is happening around you because you know God. And when you really know God, I mean sure enough know God, when you know who he is, no news is bad news. Praise his holy name. When you really know God, even when bad news come, you don't run to those who are the perpetrators of the bad news. No, you run to God and say, God, you see what they're trying to do. You see what the doctor has said. You see what my job has just laid me off. But God, I know you and that you are a provider who will keep me and provide for me because I know I've got experience with you. I've walked with you. I talk with you every day. You share your heart as I share my heart. I know you, and I know that you will make a way. Isaiah 45 and 3 says, I will give you, all of us want something. I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know, slash, yada, that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by name. He just doesn't, when you know God, he just doesn't call you child of God. When you know God, he just doesn't call you servant. He calls you by name. That's an expression of closeness and intimacy. And when you have that kind of closeness with God, that gives you confidence that everything's gonna be all right. It's not just from your mouth. It's not just in your mind, but it's in your heart that you can sleep at night. You can laugh when you should be crying. When people are bewailing and bemoaning your faith, you'll turn to them, what you crying about? You'll be like Jesus when he's carrying the cross up to Golgotha when they were crying for him. He turned around and said, don't cry for me. Cry for yourself. When you know God is on your side, you can make it through anything with joy and thanksgiving. Ain't God all right? So when you desire to know God, God will confide in you the mysteries of his will. When you desire to know God, God will help you to understand more clearly who he is. When we desire to know God, God will lead us to riches stored in secret places. Riches of wealth and riches of wealth and wholeness. When Jesus healed, he just didn't say, you are now healed. He says, you are now made whole. The riches of wholeness is when you have a sound mind. The riches of wholeness when nothing troubles you or disturbs you. The riches of wholeness is when you have a confident that God is with you in every moment, in every situation, in every circumstance and experience. God is with you. And God leads you to that secret storehouse that everybody can't go to. Everybody can't find because it's secret. It's an oasis in the wilderness. When people are worried because of the famine, God tells you to go out in the famine and plant a crop, because God is able to do amazing things exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Praise his holy name. That's the abundant life. This is what the abundant life looks like. The abundant life is becoming a friend of God, whom he shares with us the mysteries of life. The abundant life is knowing who God is and what God is doing in our lives and in the world. The abundant life is God leading us to the secret treasures of life that are impossible for others to discover, but are freely available to those who yada God. You know, I know yada Sister Tony, and she knows she yadas me. All that I know, Sister Tony knows. And if there is something that I know that she doesn't know, all she has to do is ask, and it will be given. Y'all hear me? All that I have, Sister Tony has. And if there's anything that I have that she doesn't have, all she has to do is ask, and it will be given. I yada Sister Tony. She yadas me. So we're able to provide for each other. Whatever is necessary for life, if it's friendship, it's there. If it's company, it's there. If it's support in one area of our lives, it's there. If it's finances, it's there. Because she knows me, and I know her. I know she's not going to fool me. I know she's not going to deceive me. I know that she'll always be by my side. I know that she'll always speak up for me, because she knows who I am. And how did we get to know each other like that? We spent time together. And it's the same thing with God. She has, with me, a continual privilege that other folks don't have that don't know me like that. Whatever she wants, whatever she needs, whatever the problem is, if it just needs to be comforted and held, if she needs advice, it's always there. I don't give that to everybody because they don't know me like that. Are you thinking? Quit laughing, Phyllis. Let's keep our minds right in the right place. Yeah, let's keep them. And so that's the way God wants to be known by us. He wants us to know him like that. God knows and loves you, but God also wants to be known and loved by you. God also reveals the depths of his love for us. Before he expects us to love him, he already expresses his love to us for no reason at all. There is nothing that God has not given to us first that he does not ask of us, because that's the kind of relationship that the Trinitarian Godhead has. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit have that kind of relationship with one another. And when God created humans and the earth, they said, let us make man. Let us make somebody like us in our own image. Let us make somebody who will love us like we love them. Let us make someone who loves each other as me, you, and the Father and the Son love one another. That's what it's all about. And when that kind of love and that kind of knowing and that kind of knowledge exists in relationship, there is nothing but blessings that can come out of that relationship. That's why heaven, eternal life, will be a place where there's no more sorrow, no more pain. Every need will be met. Old folks say always howdy, howdy, and never goodbye. Why? Because there will be nothing but love in eternity. Complete and open, unbridled and an honest love that we all share with one another, and we will have all of our needs met. And all I'm saying to you, my sister and my brothers, if you're missing out on the abundant life, get to know God. Get to know God. Get to know God. Just don't have a casual relationship with him. Get to know God intimately. Just don't have a religious relationship with God. Have a personal relationship with him. Just don't be content to have an informational relationship with God where you know all about the Bible, you know about God, but you know nothing about a close and intimate experience with God. Get to know him. If you want to have an abundant life that is promised by God, get to know God. At the beginning of the year, we encourage many of you to purchase and begin to read the best daily devotional that I've ever read. I ask you to purchase and read every day Jesus Calling by Sarah Young. If you don't have it, get it. And it's amazing to me that the author of this book seems to know just what I'm experiencing in that particular day. And when I read this, I say, good God Almighty, Sarah, how did you know I'd be going through this thing? Speaks directly as if the voice of God is speaking directly to my experience at that present moment. I encourage you all to get it. But I mention this because what I've attempted to share with you on today can be easily summed up in the July 1st devotional that Sarah Young wrote. Listen to what it says. I'm closing with this. God speaking. I am light and life in abundance. As you spend time soaking in my presence, you are energized and lightened. Through communing with me, you transfer your heavy burdens to my strong shoulders. By gazing at me, you gain my perspective on your life. This time alone with me is essential for unscrambling your thoughts and smoothing out the day before you. Be willing to fight this precious time with me. Opposition comes in many forms. Your own desire to linger in bed. The evil one's attempt to distract you from me. The pressure of family and friends and your own inner critic stops you from spending your time more productively with me. As you grow in your desire to please me in all of your ways, you gain strength to resist these opponents. Delight yourself in me, for I am the deepest desire of your heart. Praise his holy and his righteous name. And that's all I'm saying to you this morning, is that God wants to give more of himself to you. God wants to give more and more of himself to you. Because many of you are groping and searching and stumbling and bumbling in life, and God doesn't want that for you. But the only way that you would discover your way and find wholeness and happiness and receive the promised abundance of life that Jesus says that he's come to give you, you must seek him while he may be found. Seek him and it will be given. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, our Father and our friend, we thank you for your openness and your honesty and your willingness to draw near to us. Oh, how much you love us. I'm learning more and more why Jesus identified you as Father. Because you are a Father who cares, who embraces, who supports, who loves. And so, God, we thank you. Forgive us, God, for our hesitancy and for our apathy. Forgive us, oh God, for our times of worry and fear. And after all these years of walking with you, we haven't progressed very much. But God, we pray for your strength as we've been inspired today and know that it's time for us to draw closer to you. You want us to draw closer to you, God, because the world is becoming more deceptive. There are more lies prevailing in the world that are there to deceive, to dismay, and disrupt our relationship with you. You want us to draw closer to you as your people, because so few people are drawing near but are running away from you, denying you. And so, God, give us grace. Give us grace as we draw closer to you, Give us grace, O God, as we snuggle up to you and find our way and seek after your knowledge and your wisdom. And when we come, God, we know that you will not push us away. So bless us now. If there's somebody here, God, who is curious about what we've talked about, we pray, oh God, that your Holy Spirit will move upon their lives and leverage their souls into your care. We thank you now for your blessings this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Jesus.